Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to another episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Louis Shackshaft, football writer, blogger, and again, hosting for you today.
Hi, I'm Jake. You can get me on Twitter at JakeJap with two N's and for EPL Index.
Great to have you with us today, Jake. Obviously, we're recording a day later than normal, but obviously we've got a full fixture list to talk us through going back to Friday. If you don't mind, we're going to do results roundup. If you want to take us through all the results from Friday, Saturday and Monday's fixtures, if you don't mind, that'd be great.
Yeah, so starting off Friday night, we had a big game at Elland Road. Leeds running out 4-0 winners against West Brom. Saturday, Norwich won 3-1 away to Millwall. Preston drew 1-1 against Bristol City. Rotherham beat Blackburn 3-2 in what was an entertaining game. Stoke won 2-0 against Nottingham Forest. Swansea beat Bolton 2-0 in a game that Bolton had two men sent off. Wigan drew 0-0 to Middlesbrough. Brentford won 3-0 against QPR. Hull won 2-0 against Birmingham. Ipswich lost 2-1 against Reading with a late winner for the visitors in that one. And then Aston Villa won 4-0 convincingly at home against Derby. And then last night, of course, it was a Sheffield Derby, which finished 0-0.
Yeah, thank you for that, Jake. Obviously, some great fixtures as usual, but we're going to talk about big wins and surprises. So what takes your fancy from those fixtures you've just reeled off, mate? Is there anything in particular what stands out as the biggest win for you?
Yeah, I think to start off with, I think the biggest win has got to be Rotherham beating Blackburn 3-2. I think that was huge.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
You know, they've been drawing a lot of games recently, but, you know, it's important they got a win. Didn't move out of the bottom three, but they pulled Millwall back in, kept pace with Reading, and I think it would have been quite a disappointing one for them if Reading would have won and moved away from them somewhat. So, yeah, that was a huge one. They're quite a few games unbeaten now, Rotherham. But, yeah, it's big to get that win on the board. The other one that sticks out is obviously the Leeds game, winning 4-0 against a rival at the top of the table was excellent. And, you know, we've had a lot of doubts about Leeds and whether they'll be able to maintain it, but that was a huge win for them at home. And then the only other one is Aston Villa winning 4-0, practically because they haven't won in months, apart from against Ipswich, and they absolutely blew Derby away. But I think it says more about Derby than it does about Aston Villa.
Yeah, do you think that was the biggest surprise, actually, 4-0 to Villa? Because, like you say, they've not won in a while. And then, you know, Derby are certainly, well, they're above them in the league, sat seven. So is that probably the biggest shock of the weekend, do you think?
Yeah, I think it was a shock, but I think it's a shock because of how poor Derby were. Because I think we all know that, that Villa have got that in them, but it was made very easy for them. And if you're going to give them that sort of space and time on the ball in the final third, they're going to do damage, and they did that. And, you know, 6 points off the playoffs now. It's not totally out of the out of the picture for Aston Villa to get into those top six.
No, you're right. I completely agree with the games you've mentioned. Obviously, a huge win for Leeds, quite convincingly 4-0 there, Bamford with a brace. I agree. I've already said that for me, the biggest win in terms of, you know, what it means to the club at this stage of the season has to be Rotherham and Ajayi popping up with a couple of headers there. But I'm also going to mention Reading's victory, actually, at Ipswich. I know, obviously, Ipswich are at the foot of the table, struggling a little bit. But Reading, obviously, getting that last-minute winner through Barrow, huge win for them, obviously keeping them in line with Rotherham. And like you've already mentioned, bringing such as Millwall and Wigan into the fold. And, you know, it's going to be a very, very interesting remaining, you know, 12, 11 games at the bottom half of the league, because that spot 22nd in the league, I still think it will be Rotherham what goes down. But yeah, there's four potential teams what could finish there now. So yeah, Reading's win, like I said, through Barrow was a huge win in the end for them. And again, Ipswich, for me, I always keep saying it, but I don't think they've got a kind hell's chance that they're going to remain in this league from next season. So is there any particular players, Jake, that stood out for you this week? Any you've written down, or any that spring to mind from the games that we've discussed?
Yeah, I've got a couple of obvious ones. I think Jack Grealish came in and had a very good game on his return. I think we've spoken about him and how he hasn't, you know, delivered as much as we expected this year, but he came back and did well and scored an absolutely wonderful goal on Saturday. So he's gonna give him a lot of confidence going into that running. Jorge as well in that game was very good. The Leeds game, Bamford getting a couple of goals. He's, you know, very good in this division. He has been for a long time. Never really made the step up, but he looks like he's back to form and showing his best for Leeds. And the only other one I've got written down is perhaps not the one that you might go for from this game, because he didn't score the goals, but I think he had a huge influence on the result, and that was Will Volks for Rotherham. I thought he was very good, got two assists, and looks like a player that belongs in this division, even if Rotherham do go down. I think he's going to be one that stays in. He's, you know, got five goals, six assists this season, wins a lot of balls in the air, gets shots in on goal. He seems to be an all-action midfielder, and I think there will be interest in him if Rotherham go down. But if they are to stay up, he's going to have a massive impact on that.
Yeah, definitely. He has been a decent player this season, and you've named a couple of players off my list. But I'm also going to mention Jared Bowen. Obviously, he scored a penalty. He managed to get a brace, actually. He was pretty much the difference for Hull City in that game. And he's a player that we've discussed in the past where he'll probably most likely move on in the summer, with a lot of play, you know, a lot of teams lurking around him, and, you know, at the right price, he may move on. I thought Tyler Roberts had a really good game, actually, for Leeds against West Brom. He didn't manage to get on the score sheet, but he was very influential and managed to get a couple of assists. And then the same for in the 4-0 defeat of Derby County, for Aston Villa's Jack Grealish was just outstanding. He's had a bit of an off patch, and we all know the quality that he does possess. But yeah, on Saturday, it was unbelievable. And if you've not seen his goal, then obviously you need to check that out, because that, well, was goal of the weekend for me. And yeah, he definitely put in a sublime performance, and credit to him, because he was one of the reasons Villa got such a convincing win, which was a bit of a shock, like we say, over Derby County. But coming off, obviously, the Steel City derby, which finished 0-0 between Sheffield Wednesday and Sheffield United, Jake. And upcoming, actually, we've got the Birmingham versus Villa fixture on Sunday, which we're going to do in preview and predictions later. So at this point, I'd just like to ask you, now we're going into the topics, what is the biggest or best rival derby in the Championship for you? So what I'm going to do is reel off the teams, or the fixtures, if you like, from this season, and tell me your thoughts on that. So there's obviously the Norwich versus Ipswich derby. There's QPR versus Brentford, which was recently played also. Derby against Nottingham Forest. And then obviously there's all the teams in Birmingham, which is Birmingham against Villa, Villa against West Brom, and then Birmingham against West Brom also. And then obviously the game from Monday night is Sheffield Wednesday and Sheffield United. So is there any in particular what you think's the biggest or best rivalry from that list?
I think the Nottingham Forest, the Derby one, jumps out purely because, you know, the Brian Clough, the period when he was in charge, and obviously what he did at both clubs, it's obviously one that jumps out to me. But if you had to, if I, you know, as a neutral, if you had to ask me which one I'd want to sit down and watch this season, it's the one coming up, and that's Birmingham Aston Villa. I think that's the one that's always the most entertaining for me. There's always goals in that one. I don't think I can really remember a game where they haven't, at least ones that I've watched. The ones that I've watched have always been good. And I think there is just this genuine passion in those games. The Ipswich Norwich one's a bit weird. I think the fans are bit too friendly. It doesn't really strike me as a huge rivalry, really, compared to the other ones in England. It's a bit of a weird one. I've never really got that one. Brentford QPR as well. It's not really a massive derby, is it? I don't think.
No.
For me, it's got to be the Steel City derby, Aston Villa, Birmingham. The game last night, if we're going to talk about that a little bit, I thought it was a bit of a poor game, to be honest. I think I sat, watched the first 60 minutes and I got a bit bored. It wasn't really a great game at all. I was expecting a lot. And the fact there wasn't even a single booking, I know that there was opportunities for it. The ref was perhaps a little bit kind with those, but it has just a bit of a drab game for a Monday night. It's built up to, it's going to be the headline game of this round of fixtures, and it was just a bit boring.
Yeah, it was. Not expecting a 0-0. It was a game where I said that this game, if any, would not be a 0-0 draw. And, you know, obviously Sheffield United needing the win at this stage probably more than Wednesday due to automatic promotion. But at the same time, if Wednesday had a won, then there'd have only been 4 points off the playoffs. So, yes, it was. They basically cancelled each other out. Obviously, I know Wednesday had that opportunity through Hutchinson where he probably should have buried, but a draw was a fair result in the end, and you know, but both defences did really well on the night. But in terms of obviously the rivalry, I'm with you on obviously the Norwich versus Ipswich, for example, and even the Derby versus Forest to an extent. I believe that a rivalry is more so when it's a team from the same city, which obviously Norwich and Ipswich aren't. You've got Norwich City and Ipswich, which are obviously a town. Derby and Forest, I know it's a great rivalry, but they're not even in the same county, which which is kind of confusing. So for me, based on that, you look at this, you know, are they in the same city? Are they, you know, what's the fan base, the size of the fan base and the size of the club? So for me, obviously, personally, the Steel City derby is huge, but that's because I encounter it more often living near Sheffield, and I'm a Wednesday fan, so it's huge to me. But like you said, for me, Birmingham versus Villa is huge as well. Obviously, coming from the same city, both clubs with huge fan bases, and you have to look at such as either Sheffield Wednesday or United or Birmingham and Villa or even West Brom and even the likes of Derby, Forest and Norwich, like all them teams, technically, you know, they've had great seasons in the past in the Premier League. And, you know, a handful of those teams should be in the Premier League, really. I know it's for whatever reason they're not, and they've been overtaken for teams like your Bournemouths and your Burnleys and your Huddersfields and your Fulhams at present. But I certainly expect a couple of those teams to go back into the Premier League. But yeah, the fan bases at some of these clubs are absolutely massive. Like we've talked about, all the, you know, most games Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday are touching 25,000-30,000 for a home game, same as Birmingham Villa and Norwich also. But yeah, the QPR Brentford one in London's obviously not huge in terms of they don't have massive fan bases. You can also consider the size of the grounds as well, which obviously QPR and Brentford don't have at present. I know Brentford are moving away from Griffin Park. But all the other teams generally have, you know, 30 to 45,000 seater stadiums, which obviously adds to the atmosphere and then the drama on the day. So, yeah, if I were going to pick the biggest and best rivalry, I'm going to probably be biased and say, obviously, the Steel City derby's one, but the other one for me would be Birmingham against Villa. Do you agree with both of them, like you said, or do you think there's any other in contention?
Yeah, I think those two for me. I think earlier I called the Steel City derby. I think I was referred to the Villa Birmingham, which of course is the second city derby. It's been a long day. It's been a long day. I thought I'd correct myself before somebody else did. But yeah, I think those two are for me. They're the big ones. I'm really excited for the Villa Birmingham game purely because I know we're going to get onto this a little bit in the topics. But you know, the winner of that one got a really good chance of getting into those playoffs. I think that game, if there is a winner, I'm going to start to favour that team for the playoffs. Going to be very interesting to see how that one goes on at the weekend.
Yeah, it will be because at the minute, as we know, there's. You look at seventh, which is Derby, right down to, even Swansea at a push who are in 14th, and all these teams have got, you know, an opportunity to, dare I say it, finish sixth. Yes, it's going to be hard. Goal difference is going to obviously play a part, and, you know, some of these teams are going to have to win 80-90% of the remaining games to obviously get in there. But Bristol City are slipping up at the minute. They've not won in three games after obviously winning three games in a row. So they are, you know, not holding the fortress as such, are they?
And the thing with Bristol City is, as we know, they do go on these runs. And you know, with the good times come the bad. And
this
we said it when the run was going on and things have turned. Slightly surprised they did manage to get back against Preston. I thought when Preston took the lead, they'd be able to see that one out. They're normally quite good at home. So, and if that would have stayed 1-0 to Preston, that would have been huge at the top of the table. But yeah, it's good. I think it was important Bristol City got that equaliser, and they can hopefully get back to winning ways with two home games coming up. But if you look at those two home games, you know, Leeds at the weekend, give off the back of their win, that looks difficult. And Ipswich, you know, following that up, it looks like a straightforward one. But if they lose that Leeds game, might not be in that sixth position. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be an interesting one, and that's going to be in our previews and predictions later on. So I'm going to ask you, Jake, could either of Hull City or Sheffield Wednesday, or let's talk Preston initially, we'll carry on where we're from, because you've had a bet, I believe, haven't you, which we've talked about in the past, about Preston finishing sixth or finishing in the playoffs when they were sat about 17th, 18th in the league. Do you think at this stage that any of those teams, or in particular Preston, can finish sixth?
I think any of those teams down to Sheffield Wednesday can. I think you could probably include, you know, you could get down and you know, a Blackburn fan could make a case for themselves, only 10 points off. But yeah, for Blackburn to get, say, for Stoke, Blackburn, Brentford or Swansea to get in the top six, they not only need to make up those points, they need all of the teams above them to drop a lot of points. And I don't think they're going to better every single one of those teams. So that's why we're not talking about those, even though you can kind of make a mathematical sort of argument for them getting in. But I think Sheffield Wednesday are an interesting one. I think if they'd have won yesterday, we'd really be talking them up today.
But
still, avoiding defeat in that game was huge. I think it's probably a little bit too much for Steve Bruce, but I think he's laying really good foundations for next year. So I'm not gonna really talk about them too much. Hull, they're just so inconsistent, but the thing that they do, as we like on this podcast, if they win games and if they're not gonna win, they don't mind losing, but that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, they don't draw many.
But they've got Nottingham Forest and Norwich away next, which look difficult to me, and they've also got trips to Middlesbrough, West Brom, and home game against Sheffield United before the end of the season. So it looks difficult, but they've got goals in them. And I think they've got nothing to lose, really. And they've got a manager in Nigel Adkins that's very good at building positivity. And I think that's huge when you get into the run-in. But Preston, I think I just jumped a bit too soon on them. I could see the potential there. I thought the January the signings they made are really good. And they're now starting to build it up. But I think a little bit like Sheffield Wednesday, I think they're going to be more ones for next season. I think if they've had three home games recently, Derby, Nottingham Forest and Bristol City, if they drew all three, you know, if they'd have won two of those, say, and lost one, they'd be in a much better position now. And I think they've sort of missed their opportunity. They perhaps needed an extra two or three points at this stage to really be in contention.
I agree.
So for me, yep. I think the interesting thing about the playoffs is Derby, yes, they've been on an awful run. Losing to Millwall was an awful result. Forest was disappointing because it was a derby, but that can happen. The Villa game looked very bad, but I don't think it's completely, you know, it's not a lost cause. But if you're looking at their next four games, Wigan, Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke, Rotherham, all at home those matches are. You know, if they can, they need to get some points there. You know, if they go through these four home games and say three wins, I think they're still the ones for me, despite their recent blip. I think we're going to know what Derby are going to, you know, where Derby are sort of going to finish at the end of these four games. I think they need to get some serious points in now and get their confidence back. To answer your first question, I think I'm still thinking Birmingham are the ones most likely, or Aston Villa. So I think it's those two. I really think those two are the ones that are most likely.
We'll see on Sunday, yeah.
Yeah, we will do. That's what I was saying. I think that's the big one. Just a question for you, though, Louis, to follow up on Derby a little bit. What do you think? Do you think that Frank Lampard would be considered a success if they don't finish in those playoffs? Because he's taken his job, he's been talked up a lot at the start of the season, did very well in some cup competitions. Say if they finish seventh, would he be a failure? Because other managers have been at Derby for that very achievement, and I think it would be a shame to already label him as one. But there are certainly problems at that club.
There's something amiss, yeah. I'm really surprised that Bristol City have not won in three, and nobody's caught them. And that's Derby's failure, because they've also lost three in a row now. And to answer your question, I guess, yeah, if they do finish seventh, I know it's only one place off the playoffs, but yes, for me, then he's failed this season, because, you know, we talk about Gary Rowett in the past, who's been in a similar position and got sacked. I understand that Lampard's there, and like you've talked about what's happening at Sheffield Wednesday with Bruce, Lampard's potentially doing the same at Derby. He's got this season to lay down his foundations, bring in the players he wants, you know, get a team together that is going to play the way he wants. It's just they've been so stop-start, inconsistent. So, yes, I do think that if they finish seventh, ultimately, then this season has been a failure. Yet, if they do finish fifth or sixth, then in many ways you could say it was a success, depending on how the playoffs run. But you can only be, you know, only one team can be playoffs successful in the playoffs, and we know that's a lottery. So, if Derby were to get in the playoffs and not go up, then for me Lampard would have still done well. It's just, yeah, I think it is that borderline, and you know, it is that tight in this league, that one position, and Derby are falling into that position at the minute where it can be determined between success and failure. So obviously I wouldn't expect at all Lampard to be sacked or anything like that. You know, I'm expecting him to be there for the long haul and definitely next season. But at the same time, I'm sure the board of directors, the chairman, etc., playoffs was a must this season, and that's what they brought Lampard in for. I know he's, you know, in his first job, if you like, in coaching and management, but at the same time, he's experienced, you know, he's got contacts, and to finish seventh in this league, I think, yeah, it would ultimately be a failure. Do you agree with that?
I think so, but it's a shame that we're having to talk about it like this, because, you know, yeah, there were positive signs at the start of the season. I think perhaps could have built on that and didn't, but yeah, it's a difficult one. I don't quite agree with you when you say that he's built a team more for next season, because there's a lot of young players, but Harry Wilson and Mason Mount, they're not going to be there next year.
Well, true.
They're sort of very short-term additions, so it seemed like that the playoffs were definitely the target. But I don't think whatever happens, it's really going to hurt Lampard in the long term. I think he's probably one of those coaches that it's, you know, very admirable that he came down to the Championship, but he's probably better suited to managing at a higher level. A bit like that we're seeing with Solskjaer now, where, you know, he managed quite a little bit, but I think you know, if you spend all your, you know, your career at the very top of the sport, it can be difficult to come down, even you know, just to the second tier. And I think we're seeing that with Lampard. So I don't think it's going to hurt him in the long term. I don't think this is going to be a failure. If he did get sacked, I don't think it's out of the question he gets sacked. I think that's certainly a possibility. If it continues on this downwards trajectory at a very quick rate, I think that could happen. But I think he'd learn a lot from it. He'd probably come back in. But yeah, it's interesting because I think in the first half of the season, they looked like automatic contenders. And I thought that they'd really develop and come on in the second half, but it just hasn't happened.
No, it hasn't happened, no. I honestly think that this season, it's that close between 6th and, let's say, 12th, 13th in this league, that the team that finishes 6th will probably do so on goal difference. So if I'm going to push you, Jake, to pick a team that is going to finish 6th, who are you going to go for?
Oh, it's a difficult one. I'm going to go Aston Villa.
Yeah, I can see why you said that. But you know what? I'm going to actually stick with Bristol City. And the reason I do so is because they're on this fine run of form. They're having a blip at the minute. And like I said previously, I'm just so surprised that they've had a blip of only picking up 1 point out of 9. And there's still 3 points clear to Derby. So for that reason, I think they're probably having a blip at the right time, and then they may see them win 5 of the remaining 11 games. And that might just, like I say, see them through. And based on goal difference, out of the bunch, Bristol City are on currently +8, as are Birmingham, Forest on +7, Villa on +8. Everyone else hasn't got, in particular, a great goal difference. Hull City only on +2. We talked about Sheffield Wednesday -7. That's their downfall. I think Hull City, Sheffield Wednesday, Preston, Forest, I think they'll just run out of games and therefore points, and that's what's not going to see them fall into 6. But if you're going to say Aston Villa...
I say Aston Villa, not because... You know, I don't have a clue who's going to finish in that 6th spot. It really could be any of those teams. But I say Villa purely because you look at that front 6 that played at the weekend. You've got Adoma and El Ghazi, both two very good wide players. You've got Tammy Abraham, who is the best striker, the best goal scorer in this division. I don't think that could be argued. Jack Grealish, one of the most talented players in this division. I wouldn't say the most talented, because I think he's a little bit overhyped because he's English, but he's certainly one of the better players in this division.
Definitely.
Glenn Whelan, a very proven Premier League player, very good at, he adds a little bit of defensive quality to that midfield. And I think they've just, that a 4-0 win against a team above them at this stage of the season, it's a result that could really kick them on. And I've forever said that they're always drawing, they're not winning games, they can only beat Ipswich. And it's only one win, admittedly. But I just... there's been this potential about them for a long time, and I think that could be the thing that kickstarts it. And I don't think any team in this division will want to play Aston Villa now, even those at the very top. And looking at their fixtures, I think they've got Norwich and Leeds left to play. Neither of those teams will want to play Aston Villa.
No, you're right. And I'm going to look forward to your prediction for Sunday in this one. Like I say, it's the big derby, so we'll wait to see what you say. So we've talked about the playoffs and we've talked about the top half. But let's go straight to the top. And I want to ask you now, Jake, at this stage, do you think Sheffield United have enough quality to finish top of the league? I'm not talking second. I'm not talking in the playoffs. I'm actually talking top. They're currently 4 points off Norwich. But they remain unbeaten in a long while now. Keep picking up points, winning games. Do you think they can finish first this season?
No, I don't. And I don't know why I say that, but I just think we've seen in the last few weeks, Norwich, I think, are taking their game to a new level. I think they're the ones that look for me like the favourites, even though they are set up. I think they just look very good.
Yeah.
And I think it's difficult not to see them winning it. They've got so much quality. And just look at their next 3 games. They've got Swansea and Hull at home. I think Hull are a much easier proposition if you're playing them at your own stadium. And then Rotherham as well. That's 3 games. I would be surprised if they didn't take 9 points out of those. And once they've got to that, it's difficult to catch them. Away trip to Middlesbrough could perhaps slip up there. QPR and Reading... after that at home, Norwich are gonna quite easily win this league. I think I just think the fixtures are falling kindly for them. And I don't know what it is about Sheffield United. I think they're just They remind me a lot of Brighton in that year before they went up. I think that's the best comparison I could say, because I think they've got a lot of quality. They look like a very, you know, the best they have done for a long time. I think this is the best Sheffield United team we've seen for a very long time. But I just think that they're one step away from it. And I don't know what that missing piece is yet. You know, the four clean sheets in their last four matches, that's a really good record. And it's something that normally, you know, you win championships off the back of a good defence. Something that Norwich still don't really have. Conceding twice against Bristol City, conceding against Millwall, conceding against Preston, three against Preston. They still don't really have that defence, whereas Sheffield United do have it. Fixtures coming up, Rotherham at Brentford at home, I'd expect them to win both of those.
Yeah.
Leeds away after that, and that's a huge one. They need to go there and get a win. Following that up, Bristol City at home, Preston away, Birmingham away, just tougher fixtures. They've just got tougher fixtures, and they've got 4 points to make up. They're not going to finish top, and got a chance to get second, but yeah, I don't think they're going to finish top. I think Norwich, the fixtures are falling too kindly, and they're in too good a form to lose top spot at this stage, I think.
Yeah, you know what, I've got to agree with you, and it's strange because I don't know why either. I can't really put my finger on it, because Sheffield United just keep proving me wrong every week. They're one of the teams that I have always said all season, they'll slowly drop off. They're still sat in third. They've still got an opportunity to finish top or come second, you know, automatics. But there's something, yeah, as well that I can't put my finger on. And yes, like you said, the four clean sheets in four games, second in the form table behind Norwich. So one half of me thinks, is it me what's wrong? Can Sheffield United finish top? You know, like I say, they keep week after week proving a lot of people wrong, because I think it's on paper, you wouldn't look at individual players and think...
I think that's you know, exactly what it is. It's the individual. Yeah. That you look at Norwich and you go, oh, you got Pukki, you've got Vrančić, you've got Steeperman, yeah, you've got Hernandez, you've got, you know, you've got all those players in that team. And you look at Sheffield United, and if you just say the average person who doesn't really follow the Championship that closely, that knows about football, if you say Sheffield United did see Billy Sharp, and that's about it. I think it's the one name that jumps to mind. I think who have a little bit more interest in and knowledge about Sheffield United know that Kieran Dow is a very good player. Norwood's had an exceptional season. Stevens at left back, I think, is a very, very good player. And you've got Medin, McGoldrick, Hogan.
Yeah. That's Paul the Coote. Other thing we...
They've got a lot of good... But I just don't think they're as... I don't think they're Championship winner quality. I don't think any of those players are. Not even Billy Sharp, I don't think, is a Championship winner. And I think they've done very well to get to where they have, but I just think they're just one step behind Norwich and Leeds in terms of quality for me.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think, like you say, I mean, Norwood's fantastic. You know, Billy Sharp's been great this year, and he has been at Sheffield United for a long time. But I think, you know, you've got to also praise Sheffield United, because Wilder does get his team collectively working as a unit, and he's doing a great job, obviously, sat in third. And they've also recruited really well. Like, you've obviously mentioned Hogan and Medin. That's something that they were missing. And, you know, I know...
Dowell as well. I think it's a very good player.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, but like you say, you look at Norwich, you've just got those, on paper, bit more quality, like your Pukis, etc., your Vrančić, and Leeds United as well, like your Bamfords and your Hernandez and your Janssen at centre-back. I think that's the difference. I think Sheffield United are missing about £15 million spent across the pitch, if that makes sense. And that's not knocking them, because I think they're doing absolutely fantastic for, like I say, that the players that they have got, you know, that have cost barely anything, most of the players in the team. And like I say, they've recruited really well. You've only got to look at the goalkeeper, Henderson, as well, who's on loan from Manchester United, who's, for me, been one of the best goalkeepers in the league as well. So, yes, I'm with you on this, Jake. I think that they will probably finish third. Whether they go up via the playoffs, that's another question. But I think there's still, like I say, couple of real quality players missing from that team. Like, if you were to take, let's say, Pukki out of Norwich's team and put it in Sheffield United, and let's say Janssen at Leeds and put it in Sheffield United's team, then for me, Sheffield United could probably come top. But I think that is the difference, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so too.
Great, we agree on something. So let's go into previews and predictions. This Saturday, in fact, some huge fixtures. I know I say that most weeks, but the first fixture we're going to cover is Bristol City versus Leeds United. What's your prediction for that one, Jake?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. I say always are at this stage of the podcast after we just talk up and talk down certain clubs, you get certain things in your mind. But we sort of haven't gone big on Leeds this week, which is unusual for us. But they were very good against West Brom. But I think we did sort of touch on it last week in this sort of part of the show. We did say West Brom, you know, the comments from Darren Moore were very worrying about, you know, how he said they'd gone as far as they could go. And
they were right. They proved it.
I mean, they did. But I think they're the sort of negative comments that they lead to results like that. And I think it was more about West Brom being abject and just not up for it than it was about Leeds being very good. And I think any team that go up against Leeds with Bielsa as manager, if you're not fully at it, they will dismantle you.
Yeah, you're right.
But on the other hand, if you approach it well and you get a good game plan, they're beatable, this Leeds team. And I think Bristol City just got the players and the way they play to frustrate Leeds and to take those counter-attacking chances when they come. So I think, and the fact it's at Bristol as well, I think makes it gives them a big advantage because they're a lot better at home than they are away. So I think I'm going to go for a Bristol City win here. I'm going to go 2-1 Bristol City.
Yeah, it's quite a surprise you say that, actually, with obviously looking at the league standards. But on the same time, I'm going to predict that it's going to be a draw. And like you've mentioned, with Bristol City being at home, I know that they're one of them teams, Bristol City. Like, you can also look at, like, your Brentfords also. They're one of them teams where you're quite confident when they're at home that they can beat anyone. So in this fixture, like you've said, I'm not surprised at the same time that you've predicted a Bristol City win, even though Leeds United ran riot against West Brom. But I'm going to predict 2-2. I think it's going to have plenty of goals. And this is a fixture that may need to kickstart Bristol City in picking up points again, basically. And yes, I'm only predicting a draw, but against a team that's second in the league, that might give them a bit of confidence. And like I said earlier on, I'm going to say that Bristol City finished sixth in the league and that they'll come out of the slump that they're currently on, albeit it's only a few games. So I'm going to go with a score draw in that one. The next game, Jake, both playoff contenders, if you like, as well. Saturday, 3 o'clock kickoff again. Nottingham Forest versus Hull City. What's your preview for that?
Yeah, Nottingham Forest are a very weird team. I don't think I liked the appointment of Martin O'Neill when it happened, but I think he's got a few decent results. But every time they do get a win, you know, they follow up with a draw or a loss, and they're not building up that momentum that you have to build up.
Yeah.
And I think to lose against Stoke this year is just not great to any team, because they've been awful. The fact we barely talk about Stoke in this podcast is amazing, really, considering how heavy favourites they were at the start of the season.
I had them to finish automatic.
I had them to finish top, so it surprised everybody, but we just don't really talk about them. I forget they're in this division sometimes, but to lose that is quite disappointing, especially after you just beat your local rivals. That could really push them on. Hull are a team we like. Jared Bowen, Grisicki, Fraser Campbell, a lot of good players on that team. But I just don't really like them away from home. You know, they went away against Derby, lost there a few weeks ago, went away to Brentford and got absolutely battered there. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Okay.
Because I don't really like either of these teams in this game. So, for that fact, I'm going to go for a draw.
Well, you've picked out the reason already why I'm going to go for a Forest win. So, I've predicted 2-0. And the reason is because I think Hull City aren't great on the road. If it was the, you know, role reverse, if I was predicting the fixture, if Hull was at home, I'd probably go 2-0 to Hull. But with it being at Forest, and like I say, Hull have had some, you know, they've been demolished in a couple of games recently on the road. So I'm going to go 2-0 to Forest in this one. The next game is the big clash, which we've kind of touched on throughout the show. which is on Sunday, 12 o'clock. No surprise there, as usual. But it's Birmingham at home against Aston Villa. What's your prediction for this?
I think this is going to be a really, really good game. There's definitely going to be goals now. I think there's a chance for a red card as well. We normally get those in these games. Birmingham are a very good team. They're going amongst them very well there in sort of difficult circumstances of all the uncertainty about transfer bans and things like that and mismanagement of finances that happened before he got there. You could say that, yeah, the squad, that there's been a lot of money spent on the players that are there, but it's still difficult to manage in this atmosphere, and he's done well. Che Adams, I think, is a very good player. Surprised me last week they went and lost against Hull. Thought Hull was sort of on a downwards curve, but that didn't happen. I don't think it really matters where the game is played. I don't think home advantage is that much, really, in a derby game. I think they're very much one-off games. And Villa coming off that 4-0 win could go to one of two ways. Either that it's given them too much confidence and too much momentum that they just go into this completely, you know, flying into tackles and getting an early red card. I could see that happening. Or they could go in and play Birmingham off the park. And the fact I've predicted Aston Villa is the most likely to get playoffs, and I said the winner of this game could get playoffs, I think I'm going to go for a Villa win. Yeah. But the last time we went so big on a team, it was West Brom, and they've gone down very much after then. So I'm probably giving you the kiss of death, Aston Villa. But yeah, I'm going to go for a Villa win. I'm going to say 3-2. I want to say there's going to be a lot of goals in this one, but I'll say 3-2.
Oh, that many goals.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-2.
Yeah, I think there'll be goals, but I'm not going to predict that many. I'm going to predict 3. So I'm going to go for the same reasons as you, pretty much. A Villa win, and I'm going to say 2-1. And that is basically me just predicting it on form. I think Villa's 4-0 win over Derby will be a huge confidence booster going into this game. Obviously, Birmingham lost their last game, but anything can happen in this fixture, like you say, sending off penalties. I think just that bit more quality that Villa have probably got in midfield here will probably just see them through. So, yeah, I'm going to predict a 2-1 to Aston Villa. But unfortunately, Jake, with that, we are out of time. If you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, you can get me on Twitter at Jake Chapman with two N's. You can get the Premier League podcast on this same channel that I sometimes appear on. And you get my writings on the EPL Index.
Thank you, Jake, for that. And I've been your host, at Lewis Shackshaft on Twitter. Remember to follow the show also on Twitter, which is at Championship Pod, where we post each show to our pin tweet. Please subscribe to the show, like and retweet. Please, you know, send us some comments or tweets if you like regarding the show or any questions. We want to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.